listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with us once again today. He's here to talk about SK Mining. Quentin is a director for SK Mining. He is also a member of the Crescat Management Team, Crescat Capital Management Team, and Crescat is a strategic investor in SK Mining, which is exploring for a very exciting volcanic massive sulfide project in the same belt of rocks that hosts one of the richest gold silver mines in Canadian history, that being SK Creek Mine. What is so exciting about this story is, in fact, that it is in the same belt of rocks, and the company has also had some really great results in its first couple of years of exploring this project. Before I say hello to Quentin, I should tell you that SK Mining trades in Toronto under the symbol ESK. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol ESKYF. I have around 165, 166 million shares outstanding. $1.90, it's up a little bit today, $1.98. When I looked at it in U.S. money, it gives it a market cap in U.S. funds of around $328 million. And I think the company's in pretty good shape financially. Quentin can let us know about that, but it's my understanding the company is in the process of raising $7 million in Canadian money and it has a large number of warrants in the money, which should bring in another $12 million or so. So the company should be well-funded to carry out a very aggressive drill program this summer. So with that, I'm really glad to welcome Quentin. Thank you for joining me again, Quentin.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
Always good to have you. You always have some very interesting stories and very promising stories, because I know that you don't really get involved in a project unless you think it has really sort of world-class scale.
We don't
fool around with little 1 million ounce deposits. Generally, you're looking for something that really can work in this day and age. So it's always good to have you. For the benefit of folks who may not be aware of SK Mining's project, maybe just give a quick overview of it.
Sure.
And go ahead with that.
Yeah, that's a good place to start, really, because you know, a lot of people way back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, when SK Creek was actually first found, you know, they appreciate it. They know the story and they saw how it developed. It was the highest grade mine for many years on planet Earth. And it was actually the highest margin too, you know, with the silver credits. Look, it basically produced gold at a negative cost. So just for people's edification, look, SK Creek, the historic mine, the high grade was about 2.3 million tons produced over a, you know, call it 13 or 14 year period, I believe. It produced so about 2.3 million tons at about 46 grams per ton gold and about 2.1 kilograms of silver per ton. So, you know, just an absolutely exceptional deposit. Now, a little bit more about SK. Okay, so SK Creek is now being advanced by Skeena. What are they doing? Well, they're looking at the, we'll call it lower grade. It's not really low grade, but lower grade remnants or remains of the deposit. And guess what? There's, you know, I think, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I would think it's in the order of 40, 45 million tons. So, you know, something like, you know, what would that be? Almost 20 times the original tonnage of the high grade deposit. That's running about 4 to 5 gram gold equivalent.
Wow.
You know, and it's, again, it's a gold and silver mix, so you got to keep that in mind. But anyway, Skeena is currently looking to develop that into a large open pit, or multiple pits, I guess, as well as some underground. Now, a lot of, anybody knows VMS knows that a lot of VMS camps have many deposits, okay? You know, there's, some of these VMS camps might have a dozen or more, maybe two or three dozen even. VMS deposits, and they can range from small up to large. I would consider the current SK Creek deposit to be kind of a medium-sized VMS. You know, and the question has been for many years, where the heck are the rest of the VMS in this camp?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of prospective ground. I would say SK Mining holds about 85% of the prospective ground around the SK Creek mine. So guess what? It's on our ground. Okay, and we've now proven that by the drilling we've done at both TV and Jeff, but the early signs of yet further VMS discoveries elsewhere. You know, we've got some really good news out from the last year's season. I can go into that in a little more depth, but that, mm-hmm. that hopefully gives people a background about this exciting project. We're looking for perhaps even a bigger system than the original SK Creek mine, and I think we have it.
Well, Quentin, I know looking at your map, there's countless targets that are there. The ones you've focused on and you did a lot of drilling on last year was the TV and Jeff. They're two targets that are close together, and if I understand properly, the thought is that they probably link together. What can you tell us about what you learned last year at TV, Jeff, and in general, what did you learn from your drill program last year?
Certainly, we learned several things. First of all, we expanded both systems quite a bit. If you look at the footprint of each system today, it's more than twice as large as they were last year. 2020, when I say last year, I mean the previous season. So that's the first thing we learned. We also are seeing signs now from the soils and other rock tip sampling and stuff that we had talked about a few weeks ago that the two systems connect. There's very clear evidence for that. In fact, the gold anomalism extends well beyond the strike of TV and Jeff. So we now identified a 6-kilometer-long corridor of highly prospective ground. Both the geophysical data, the SkyTEM data suggests multiple sulfide bodies present along that corridor. But we also see now geochemical evidence in soils and rock chip sampling that suggests we have lots more to do here. So again, the existing Eskay Creek deposit has a footprint that's about 2 or 3 kilometers long and within a quarter, say a kilometer wide. Well, we have a system that's now clearly at least 6 kilometers long. And again, it's about a kilometer wide. So we have something that, in footprint size is twice the size of the existing SK Creek system. So we're quite excited to get back in there, do some more drilling. The other thing we learned, though, Jay, is very important. The mineralization that we found at TV and Jeff occur lower in the stratigraphy than the traditional SK Creek deposit. Most of what we drilled so far is down in the lower part of the Hazelton Group, which is basically the package of rocks that formed on the seafloor. And we do think there's potential above this, okay? So we're still very keen on the potential higher in this section. We do think there's potential to find that SK analog higher in the section at TV and Jeff. But we have some other good news. So TV and Jeff occur on the east limb of the SK anticline. The anticline goes up, and then it dips down on the west side, and we found a mirror image, I kid you not, of TV and Jeff on the west side. We call it Excelsior. So now we see, like when I say TV and Jeff, that's not all we're really dealing with here. We're dealing with, an ever-expanding mineral system. Excelsior looks like the mirror of TV and Jeff. So we might have, 2X, if you will, to discover here. And then we have elsewhere on the property. We got Scarlet Ridge up to the north. Beautiful geochem. We found historic data there, some very high-grade rock chip samples, even some pretty good grades and some historic drilling from way back around the era of the original discovery, SK Creek. Well, guess what? Nobody's touched that area in 40, or what would it be, 30 years now. That's unbelievable. Okay, so we're chomping at the bit to get back in there. Down at C10 in Vermilion, we had some very encouraging results. We did hit high grade at C10. We hit 2 meters of 31 grams, I believe it was, so two meters of an ounce per ton. Great start there. We have targets all over the property. Again, that VMS at camp is showing up on our ground.
Yeah, and before we went live during the commercial break, you mentioned you seem to be very, very excited about Scarlet Ridge. Maybe, I don't know, why? What do you see about that has you so excited?
Well, the Scarlet Ridge, the part of the stratigraphy it occurs, appears to be very similar to the SK Creek setting, which is actually only 7 kilometers to the west. So to put Scarlet Ridge in context, it's towards the north end of what we call the East Anticline. So it's not part of the SK Anticline. It's actually the next anticline over. And SK Creek happens to sit at the north end of the SK Anticline. So we see Scarlet Ridge having the same stratigraphy and basically the same position, like geologic position, as the Eskay Creek deposit. So, you know, this could be very exciting. We could basically find, you know, a brand new Eskay Creek type system in that region.
And do you expect, you just give us a quick, how much are you going to be drilling this year? Do you have, how much meterage be drilled in?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, last year we targeted 30,000 meters. Snow started falling early in September. We got shut out, so we only drilled 24. This year we're going to target over 30,000 meters, but we are going to get an earlier start. We're going to have, we're likely have to ramp up the number of drills we have. But we're also going to push the drill to the, you know, the more typical close of season, which is about mid-October for the region. If we get in there early and we have more rigs and one more month, we'll call it, out of the season, I think we can get well north 30,000 meters.
All right. Well, in closing, I guess we want to watch the drill results, which will be some time coming. But in terms of share price drivers, in addition to a healthy gold market, which Michael Oliver is telling us we're going to have, I guess just watch for the news, I guess, right?
Well, that, and look, we're well-financed. We just did a raise. It's the second tranche will close here imminently. We got $7 million charity flow-through. And basically with that and the money we had in the bank, we're ready to go.
All right, very good. All right, Quentin, well, thank you very much for this update. We'll certainly be watching this one closely during the summer of 2022. All right, folks, well, we do have to go to break, but don't go away. Alistair McLeod will be with me to explain why a return back to a gold-based monetary system is certainly within the realm of possibility, and why recent moves by Russia to demand payment for natural gas and oil in Russian rubles and or gold may be a first step in that direction. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Alistair McLeod.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.